Good morning, Delaware. I hope you're having a great Friday, and I hope you're looking forward to some fun this holiday weekend. It should be a good one. I think it's always fun when we have the national holiday on a weekend, and mm-hmm. we get the Monday, and everybody can have a good time, except the people who work at the library, because we are actually open on Friday, on Monday, excuse me, the 5th. So sorry about that, staff, but if people want to celebrate their independence by reading books about American history, right?
Yeah, that's how that works.
So anyway. We are delighted today to have as our guest Melissa Schiffel, the prosecutor for Delaware County. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
And it's so good to have you right here in the studio instead of having to talk to you on the phone. It's a lot more fun when you're actually here. So thank you for being here. And we're going to talk about why she's here. We're not in trouble. We're not being prosecuted.
Yet. I don't know. Right.
They're still finishing up the audit, but I think we're okay. That's Nicole Fowles over at the other microphone there. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
And Greg Tellis on the board. Thank
or
you.
Gage.
That's not my name.
I said Greg.
Yes, you did.
Or Gage.
Why did I say Greg?
we'll get that in post, right?
Yeah, we'll get that in post-production. Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Good morning.
Good morning, whatever your name is. All right. So, Nicole, what have you been reading, listening to, binging on, whatever?
Something to celebrate the holiday, but not the holiday that you just talked about. Today is a very special holiday. Do you know what it is?
No, I don't.
It's World UFO Day.
Oh. And I should know this. I'm a space geek.
You should know this, Gage. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, just, you know, a week or so ago, they released the report. The United States intelligence agencies went together to actually say that, you know, like, we're not going to rule out that there's some freaky stuff in the skies. And so they published a report. And really, if you read the report, it didn't say much. It just said, yeah, there's some freaky stuff in the skies that we don't know a lot about. But, you know, this all really came to a head when the U.S. Navy released the two of the videos. And the pilots are like, really baffled and really excited. Wow. And they're saying to themselves, like, look at that thing. That shouldn't be moving like that. What's happening over there? And so, you know, Navy pilots, like, they aren't gonna out their credibility, you know? Like, they're not the people who you typically see talking about alien abductions. Right. Yeah. So, anyway, today is World UFO Day, and the way that people celebrate it is by looking to the skies and seeing if they can find anything fun in the skies. But with that, I wrote a column that was published in the Gazette last weekend, and it talked about some books that are nonfiction books that are written about some of the more curious space and air oddities that have happened in our history as a nation. One really great recommendation is The Day After Roswell. It's by Philip J. Corso. He's the former head of the Foreign Technology Desk at the U.S. Army's Research and Development Department. And he actually, in this book, discloses the government's role in the incident and explains, I guess, what actually happened and its implications. Oh. Of course, you know, conspiracy theorists can believe one thing, and the actual former head of the Foreign Technology Desk at the U.S. Army can say another thing. There's also a really great story called Captured, the Betty and Barney Hill UFO Experience. And this is the true story of the world's first documented alien abduction. This story is by Stanton T. Friedman, and it's an analysis of the famous 1961 alien abduction story. And, you know, of course, like any good nonfiction writer, it's going to draw on previously unpublished information. There were even hypnosis session transcripts, observation by Betty Hill's niece to provide a full account, and sharing additional coverage of the Hill's life, you know, even after they continued to be under public scrutiny. So
I believe there was a book about that around 1970 called Incident at Exeter.
Oh.
Which was the original story about that couple.
So this one is probably a follow-up to that. Yeah.
Yeah, because this was a long time ago. So this happened in 61, and I think this book was like the late 60s.
Oh, yeah. They got right on it.
Yep.
Yeah. Right, so. And then I am not familiar with this one. However, this one calls itself the world's best documented UFO incident. It's called Encounter in the Rendlesham Forest. Rendlesham? I don't know. Anyway, it says it's the incident, the inside story of the world's best documented UFO incident. This book is by Nick Pope, and it's about a 1980 UFO that was tracked on the military radar in Rendlesham Forest, England. And it landed near some military bases. So it had a lot of investigation behind it. So anyway, you know, happy 4th of July or happy World UFO Day. To each his own.
Well, thank you very much. Melissa, what have you been reading, listening to, or what do you...
Oh, my goodness. So I'm not going to... Don't want to have, like, a spoiler alert, but, you know, summer reading program, having my daughter home for the summer and not going to school, and just, you know, she's going to be entering first grade in the fall, so it's so magical right now. She's learning to read, and it's just a blessing to be able to go to the libraries and pick up books. So we started Amelia Bedelia.
Yay.
And... She likes to try and read that, and then she likes my husband and I to read to her The Boxcar Children.
Oh, yeah.
Very popular.
So, and I remember that growing up,
yeah.
And I can't wait to start, like, Nancy Drew or The Hardy Boys. I mean, shocker, I like all those mysteries, and I'm a prosecutor.
Gee, how strange.
Right.
No?
I know. But, you know, I have this terrible habit, too, of starting books and not finishing them right now because life can get busy. It's a little out of control. But I did just a couple months ago... read this part of it, at least most of it, this wonderful leadership book that was written by Urban Meyer. Don't ask me the name, it's escaping me, but it takes football analogies, and I don't know football. I know how to root for the Buckeyes, but I don't know anything else. But and it makes them applicable to leaders, and I think it's just fabulous because I can understand the analogies and apply it to everyday life.
Oh, that's great.
That's great. So... you were talking about Strange Things in the Sky,
yes.
And the book I read is called The Bomber Mafia by Malcolm Gladwell. Now, if you've read Malcolm Gladwell,
I love Malcolm Gladwell.
Writes about everything.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote Blink. He's written a number of different books.
I've read Blink.
Just a little bit about everything.
His podcast is fascinating, Revisionist History.
And this book is based on something that he did in Revisionist History.
Nice, yeah.
This book went from podcast to audiobook to printed book.
Which is
just usually
kind
the opposite
of the opposite.
Way
yeah.
it
mm-hmm.
usually works. And because I listen to this as an audiobook, it works really well as an audiobook. And again, this is from Hoopla, so it's available whenever you want to listen to it. So the whole point of this book is, how do you make war more humane? And this is the question that was addressed by the men who staffed, and they were all men at that point, who staffed the Air Corps Tactical School at Maxwell Field near Montgomery, Alabama, between World War I and World War II. They had seen... Just the meat grinder that the ground war in Europe was during World War I. And they just thought, this doesn't make any sense. Why would we have this kind of mechanized war, even going back all the way as far as the Civil War, with just people going into this meat grinder and coming out just terribly bloodied? So their theory was that strategic pinpoint bombing could disrupt an enemy's war machine so badly that they would either have to surrender, or would have enough sense not to start a war in the first place. If you could identify and destroy the targets, you could stop a war with a minimum of on-the-ground casualties.
Mm-hmm.
There were just a few problems with this idea, at least at the time when it came out. The first was planes couldn't carry the sizes of bombs that were needed to cause that kind of disruption. They just, if you remember, World War I planes were basically cardboard and tissue paper held together with string and were not built to carry, you know, 800-pound bombs. The second thing was the planes didn't have the range to get far enough behind the lines to do something. But the worst part was dropping bombs with precision was utterly impossible with the technology that they had then. And so they had to try to address all of this during the period between the wars. And they worked with Boeing and other plane makers to make better planes. And then the Norden bomb sight was invented, which was a top secret all through World War II. It was like one of the biggest secrets, maybe second only to the Manhattan Project during World War II, because it was basically an analog computer that helped bombardiers figure out where to drop the bombs. Trouble was, it worked really well in the lab. It worked really well in training. When you got it on an airplane, not so much. Because of the pitch and roll of planes and because of cloud cover, all of those sorts of things made it still very, very difficult to drop the bombs where you wanted. So what happened was the military basically split into two camps. The bomber mafia were the people who believed in the strategic precision bombing. And then there was the rest of the military that believed that the best thing you could do with bombing was scare the hell out of the population. And that's what the Nazis did in bombing London. That's what the Allies did in bombing Dresden and bombing Hamburg and bombing 60-some cities in Japan towards the end of the war. And the problem was neither one of them worked really well. London, the UK didn't capitulate because London got bombed during the Blitz. Germany didn't capitulate because Hamburg got bombed. Japan might have, because by that time they'd also invented napalm, and it was just, and most of Japan was just nothing but a tinderbox. But what happened was, so the atomic bomb comes along, ends everything. And so during the 50s and 60s and 70s, what we got were satellites, GPS precisions. So actually, the bomber mafia lost in World War II. They weren't the ones that whose philosophy came through. But basically, they've won the long-term philosophy of how we fight. Because now you can actually do the kinds of things they talked about. You can actually put a guided missile in the window you want it to go in a city that's crowded with other people, and go after a single target or a small, very small cell. And so the question is it any more moral, even if, and that's the question that he deals with considerably in the book. And he sets this up as a basically, the two points are General Haywood Hansel, who was one of the bomber mafia, who was running the attacks on Japan and was relieved from duty because it wasn't working and replaced by Curtis LeMay, who just believed in bombing everything. Hmm. Just, what can you destroy? Go destroy it. And so it's just a fascinating morality tale between the two sides. And don't ask me which side I believe, because he makes excellent cases for both sides. And because it's an audiobook and because it's from the podcast, you hear a lot of things like World War II motivational films, mostly narrated by Ronald Reagan. Others, you hear training movies that were made for how to use the Norden bombsight. You hear all sorts of voices and interviews that he did for this that you can read in a book, but make so much more sense when you actually hear them said.
He's a great, great author.
He really is. And again, it's called The Bomber Mafia by Malcolm Gladwell. Came out this year, came out a couple of months ago. His podcast, Revisionist History, is highly recommended. It's available wherever you get your podcasts. And so basically anything he writes is worth reading. Mm-hmm. So enjoy it. And we will be back in just a moment to find out why the county prosecutor's office is involved with our summer reading club. Stay tuned. And welcome back to Off the Shelf. We're here with Melissa Schiffel from the county prosecutor's office. Before we get started talking about what we're doing with the summer reading club there, I just want to remind you that our eggs are about ready to hatch at Delaware. They should hatch around this coming Monday, July 5th. They are right by the children's area in their incubator. If you wanted to see them at Ostrander, you're a little too late. They left this week. But the new eggs will be arriving at Powell on Wednesday, July 7th. Should hatch sometime around July 18th, and they'll be there for a week or 10 days after that.
I mean, so, I think the chicks is the most exciting part, and they're at Delaware right now, soon. Yeah,
yes, they are just adorable.
Peeping through.
Yeah, right now we just have eggs. Right now it just looks like, you know, hard-boiled eggs stand at the Hilton. So, so anyway, well, Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We are so pleased to have the county prosecutor's office working with us on summer reading.
It's so exciting.
So tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
So, you know, I have to tell you a little bit, I think, kind of like the why, because I have such fond memories of the library and summer reading program where I grew up. And I want so much for that for my daughter and for our, you know, children in our community, too. And our library does a wonderful job. So I have to thank all of you for the hard work that you do. And so when I think about that, and then I think about, ooh, what I like doing as a prosecutor, and, you know, what do I see? And man, there's just so much we could be doing to help parents in the community, as also our kids. And I was like, well, how can we do that? Obviously, helping kids or parents have the books or resources they need to have difficult conversations with their kids if they want. And so that's why we are so glad and thankful to partner with you guys. And we made 4 on-demand videos with, I'll call them local celebrities, like Sheriff Martin and Powell Police Officer Jason Lacholet and Axel.
And Axel, yes.
Yeah. So it's...
That's a dog.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Canine officer.
I mean, that would be an awesome, like, human's name as well, but it's a dog.
Okay.
And I love Axel. I was like, can he come, like, sit on my lap? And Officer Lacholet was like, no. I was like, oh, okay.
He's a working dog. Bummer. He can't be allowed to just
no. Like that. But yeah, so we, you know, have partnered with you guys that way, and kids and their parents can watch the videos. They can send us an email afterwards, and we're going to have some fun prizes for them.
That's really cool. So what are the videos about?
So one of the videos, well, actually two of them are kind of about internet safety.
Yeah.
And the one that Sheriff Martin did, I just love. It's called Goldilocks, with a play on, like, you know, getting into trouble and perhaps getting locked up.
Oh.
It's totally age appropriate, though. So it's not like, you know, super bad. And Goldilocks goes to the Three Bears and she kind of breaks into their home, like the old, you know, traditional fairy tale says. But she gets caught because then she's like taking selfies and hashtagging and things that we don't want our kids to be doing. Right.
You know, especially not in somebody else's house.
Exactly. Or like creating evidence of a crime. It's easy to find. But, you know, there's another one. My favorite, chicken clicking.
I love chicken clicking.
Talking about chickens and baby chicks. I was so lucky that one of our coworkers was hatching chicks. And so I could read to them this chicken clicking book about this baby chick that goes online and buys a lot of stuff for the farmer and all her farm friends.
Yeah.
And I was just remarking the other day, I think that is my favorite book that we read. And I'm so glad that nobody knows how to get into the Amazon account in my house except for me.
Right.
So, yeah, and my husband, but you know, he could care less. So.
These are, I would say that these are really, really great stories that I am going to talk about a book next week that is kind of like, you know, to help kids deal with emotions. And sometimes they're written by psychologists and they're too wordy and they're not easy to understand and they just kind of stink overall. And these books are, again, a great example of talking about kind of difficult, you know, conversations like internet safety. How do you talk with a little kid about internet safety, but put it in their language? And these books do it really phenomenally. And then you adding, you know, fun friends like Sheriff Martin and those little baby chicks is just too much fun.
You know, and I thought, too, like when we were looking for possible books, like even going back to some of the classics like the Berenstain Bears, Stranger Danger. Everybody can use that message still. And just reminding parents that those classic messages are out there too. It was a lot of fun. And I hope that we can continue, you know, this partnership throughout, you know, however many years we decide to do it. And what I actually super love about it as a prosecutor is that, you know, we have the funds to do this from drug forfeiture money. So this is money we took off the drug dealers and we're reinvesting into our community to hopefully, you know, help educate our kids.
Well, yeah.
I think we should like hire an orchestra and we should get songs written for it and everything. Do a full musical with the drug users' money.
Or I love
it. Sellers' money. So yeah, let's do it upright.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
That's great funds. And we have to say thank you as well, because if kids have already come and pick up their 6-hour prizes, their little totes that they get, it's stuffed full of coupons and other wonderful things. We've got a letter from Prosecutor Schiffel's office in there. We've also got a pencil in there, which I know my girls have already, like the second they saw it, they were like, well, let's go sharpen this. I was like, all right, let's go. I don't have a sharpener in my home, so we got to find one somewhere. And then, we also, I think this is kind of a bonus prize opportunity that we have for the Delaware County kids who are participating at the DCDL system. So what kind of bonus prizes are we looking at?
So it's top secret right now, but you definitely want to take the time, which, let's be honest, 4 videos, maybe less than 20 minutes, kids. You can do it on a car ride to gymnastics practice or to the pool.
Right.
And then you definitely want to send us an email so you can be entered.
Yeah.
You know, we want to keep it inclusive for everybody and make sure it's fun and age appropriate.
Yeah. It's very easy on Delaware Library's website. We've got it, delawarelibrary.org/summer reading. Click on over to the Programs on Demand page with a parent's help. Of course, we're talking about internet safety here, so do it with a parent's help to the Programs on Demand page. And you'll see Schiffel's Safety Scholars right there in a nice bold font. And we've even got a little form. So just fill out that form for every video that you watch, and that'll be your enter to win.
Yeah, and all the information, because when we were doing these videos and talking about internet safety, I was like, it seems like odd to ask them to send us an email.
Right, to go back online.
Internet safety. But all, you know, if your parent does it, all of the information is kept with the library. And so it's completely safe, and it's not like we're asking for a DNA sample. We just need to make sure you live in Delaware County so that we can give you a prize.
Right. And we have pretty strict rules about what we do with information we get from our patrons. So we're pretty careful about that sort of thing. So that's great, though. I mean, it's a wonderful kind of a cooperation here. Mm-hmm. You can't stress these things enough with the kids and with their parents to for safety and that sort of thing. So And I got to tell you, Russ Martin just makes me laugh at least once a week with his Monday funnies that he puts out. And I mean, those stupid dad jokes that I instantly go out there and repeat.
Right. So. He is wonderful. And, you know, how much his office invests into our kids and our community, mm-hmm. too. And we asked him to do this. And he was like, sure. When you want to do it. No hesitation. No problem whatsoever.
Yeah. He's a great asset to the community. Well, I mean, we have a great structure in this county. I mean, just from your office and the sheriff and so many other supportive infrastructure agencies in this community. So we're really pleased to be able to share this with you. Thank you.
Thank you for allowing us to do it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you've kind of mentioned as we were, you know, working together to put this together, what does it look like? This is kind of a fun aspect of your job, too, because I don't know if you necessarily get a lot of fun in your job.
You know, I don't think my definition of fun is probably the same as the average person in the community. I do love my job, but, you know, we do get different phone calls in the middle of the night where you could be a little stressed out and you're going to a crime scene. But it's moments like these where you're reminded again of why you love your job and what you get to do. And we get to protect all of the community members and serve them, but we also get to have fun and invest in them as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah, this is going to be really helpful, I think, for a lot of parents of young children and early elementary age children. And, you know, I know that I need to have that kind of conversation with my daughter because she goes around on YouTube and things like that. And right now I feel like it's pretty safe, but it can get blurry very quickly.
Yeah.
The internet is a crazy place.
You know, and my husband probably lets my daughter have a little bit more access to YouTube than I do. I'm like, no YouTube. Sorry. not happening. But it is like, even as a prosecutor who I see what can happen if, you know, we potentially don't have these conversations with these kids, it is still hard for me to find the words to explain it to my daughter. Because let's be honest, a 6-year-old girl doesn't want to listen to what her mom or dad says is, you know, necessarily
I wouldn't
the
know
right
a thing,
thing
about that.
She has her own idea. I mean, she asked me yesterday, when can I get a phone? And my immediate reaction was never.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I'm sorry. Like, maybe when you're old enough to pay for it. Yeah. No.
That puts the kibosh on it.
Yeah, I know. And so then she immediately asked my husband, and he's like, not for a long time, like your mom said. So I'm sitting in the same room.
Still. Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I always waited until I had one of them alone before I did that. You know, if mom won't do it, maybe dad will.
Yeah.
So she's got to work on her technique.
Okay. You're not listening to this, are you, Perry? No.
Well, thanks again. Thank you for all of this and for all the help. Like I said, your office provides. You're our legal counsel and our guy in your office. We can't mention his name because you said he'd get a big head if we did, but
Eric.
He is terrific. We really, really appreciate it. We've had good luck with him, and before him, Mark Fowler. Great people. Mm-hmm. So it's been a pleasure working with them. We have just a couple of things we want to make sure we cover before we get away. I mentioned last week on the show that I had an announcement coming from the Friends. They kind of stole my thunder by putting it on their own website. But we are going to start collecting books again for Friends Book Sales starting on Saturday, January.
It would be July.
July 17th from 10 to 1. We're having a book drop-off at the Orange Branch Library. You can just drive up, we'll unload your books, throw them in the back, put them back in the back room, and get them ready to get put on sale. And then the following Saturday, July 24th from 10 to 1, we'll be doing it at the Delaware Library. So I know you've been saving books. We get calls, probably 2 or 3 calls a week, asking when we're going to start taking donations again. Once we get past this book pickup, we will start taking them again, mm-hmm. and the Friends will be announcing when their next book sale is very shortly. So thank you for your patience in that. Mm-hmm. What else we got happening at the library?
We need to say a special thank you. I mentioned our 6-hour prizes. Goldfish Swim School has been another great partner this summer. They have provided a coupon for a free family swim night at one of their locations, and they also, on our on-demand video section, they have a water safety video that they have provided for us. So that is very timely and wonderful for this summer. Definitely recommend watching that. This Tuesday, July 6th, we have a sing and dance night with Joni Calum. She is an entertainer. She plays guitar. She plays lots of other instruments. And she is going to do like a story and song adventure that puts people and animal together and talks about how people and animals can help each other out. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Also, if you haven't been on our events page on our website lately, I would recommend checking out some of the community community bookmobile stops. We're stopping at some fun locations. The one coming up this week is in the Willis Education Center, kind of parking lot on there on Washington Street. But coming up, we've got one at like the Splash Pad at Veterans Park. We've got one at a park in the Glen Ross community area. And so it's just going to be a whole lot of fun. And I would be remiss if I do not give a special plug to, in a couple Mondays, Monday, July 12th at 3 o'clock, we're having Jasmine Warga join us at our middle school book club. And she is just going to be amazing. If you have not read her book, Other Stories from Home, or Other Words for Home,
Other Words for Home, yes.
Then it's a really quick listen, a really quick read. And she's going to be joining on the 12th. You need to register for that program and for Joni's program.
Well, listen to our show next week and you can actually hear Jasmine too. She's going to be our guest on the phone next week.
So. That's right.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Melissa Schiffel, for being
thank
here.
Schiffel.
All
right.
This is
it's
first
January.
I screw up your name. I screw up January. I just
we coffee. Yes, that's what we need.
It's
we
Friday, need, yes. George.
The problem is it's the day before my birthday and I'm just getting old.
Oh, that's excuses right there.
Yeah, well, no, that's reason. Okay, anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks to the Friends of the Library for sponsoring our show. And we will see you in the stacks.